oftentimes when a pastor gets up to pray or speak or do whatever we do, you probably zone out. But here's what I'd invite you to do today. I want you to listen for the words neighbor or neighborhood. And when you hear those words, you make a little mark. You jot down how many times you hear the word neighbor or neighborhood starting now. So we're talking about the part in our vision statement that talks about strengthening the neighborhood. So for those of you who love history, I want to invite you along on a little path today. And if you don't love history, I want to invite you along on a little pathway to history today. We are talking about the story of the people of God in the Old Testament. And here's who they were. They were this nation of people that God had called his own. And sometimes they listened to God and they obeyed God and they followed God. And sometimes they turned away and they followed other gods and they disobeyed God. And a lot of their experience depended on who was leading them at the time. They had a series of good kings and bad kings, and the good kings were the ones who loved God, who were obedient, and who led the people to do the same. The good kings were the ones who listened to wise counsel, the counsel of the priests and the prophets, the ones that put God first and cared about the nation. But there are also bad kings. Those were the ones that got distracted and would turn away from Yahweh, or God. They set up temples sometimes to worship other gods. They made alliances with pagan nations and led the people away. The bad kings were the ones who did not listen to wise counsel, who rather listened to people who told them what they wanted to hear, who stroked their egos, and who made them more powerful. An example of one of those was Ahab from last week. Does it sound familiar at all? It's the same example of bad leaders everywhere. They listen to those who tell them what they want to hear, and they do not listen to God. And this became a pattern for the nation. They would follow God, and things would go well, and then eventually they'd get complacent and think that things were okay, or a bad king would show up and say, listen, we're going to go in this direction instead. And then they would face the consequences that would come from turning away from God. And eventually they would come to repentance and ask to return, just like in last week's story on Mount Carmel. And there were times for the nation of abundance and prosperity. They had times when they were successful in battle. They maintained their borders and they felt God's favor. But along the way, they also accrued a lot of enemies. Or this little tiny nation was just in the way of empires who wanted more. More land, more people, and more resources. So in the 6th century BC, one of those enemies of the people of God was the nation of Babylonia. And the Babylonian Empire just wanted more. So following their king, whose name was Nebuchadnezzar, they send soldiers to Judah. And Babylon shows up at the gates of this nation and takes over. And in 597 BC, the king of Judah and his family, along with all the elite members of the society, are taken into exile into Babylon. And then the people are left sitting there without a king for a while. Then Nebuchadnezzar appoints a king, and within 12 years, the Babylonians come back to Judah. They destroy the city of Jerusalem, and they lay waste to the temple of God, and they carry more people into exile into Babylon. And there they are, this large population of people. These are the people of God. These are the ones that God said, you are mine, you are my chosen people. And they find themselves living in exile. And this is what exile is like. It means living not where you want to live. It means living in someone else's land and you cannot go back home. And in this case, they're living in the land of one of their great enemies, living in Babylon. And in Babylon, they worshipped other gods. In Babylon, they had this king named Nebuchadnezzar, whose counselor said to him, you should build a statue of yourself and tell the people to worship you. Babylon was a different culture. They spoke a different language. They had a different way of life. And the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem, had razed the city to the ground. They stole everything they wanted. And what was worst of all, they had gone into the temple before they tore it down. And they took the sacred items from the temple and carried them back to Babylon. So here are God's people in grief and loss, stuck in a place and wanting to be home, but their home has been destroyed. The temple is gone. They are weak. they're defenseless and probably wondering, where is God now? But at the same time, knowing that they had been warned, God said, this is what will happen. Babylon will come if you don't return. And knowing that part of this was a consequence of what they had done, and they're living in exile, and they hate it there. So along the way, people start coming to give them some encouragement. People call themselves prophets. So in Jeremiah 28, this guy named Hananiah comes, and he says to the people, look, it's not going to be very long. In just a little while, God's going to restore everything. He's going to bring you back home. You should maybe even resist and rebel in this place. You just need to hang on, because God's coming soon. It's not going to be that big of a deal. But Hananiah was a liar. He claimed to be speaking for God and wanted to just show up and tell the people what they wanted to hear, because when you tell people what they want to hear, then they like you and they want you around. But there's another person on the scene. His name's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is the one who God appointed to speak for him. And Jeremiah says, Hananiah, you're wrong. You've lied to the people. You told them what they wanted. This is not what God intends. And then he says, and you're going to die. And 2 months later, Hananiah is dead and gone. And here is the prophet named Jeremiah. He has a whole book of the Old Testament with his name on it. And Jeremiah is left in Jerusalem, one of the people who are stuck there, left behind in the devastation, while so many of the people have been taken to Babylon. And Jeremiah writes a letter to the people in exile. He writes them a letter to tell them what they need to know. And in Jeremiah 29, we'll have it up on the screen, starting with verse 4, it says this. Jeremiah writes this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's what God says, verse 5. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they can have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. So in contrast to what Hananiah said, God is giving them instructions for their time in Babylon that are long-range plans. It appears that life in Babylon is going to be for the long haul. They're not supposed to just sit there and wait out their time. They're not supposed to mope around until they get to go home. This is home for the foreseeable future, for the future that only God can see. And they need to trust. They're supposed to live here, to make a home and live a life in Babylon. Of all places, in the land of their enemies, they have to find themselves in neighborhoods. The verbs here, though, are positive and compelling. Build and settle, plant and eat, marry and multiply. And in hearing these words, they would have heard about, wait a minute, that does sound like a long time. I mean, we're going to be here long enough to plan a home, to build the home, to move into the home, and to live in the home. We're going to be here long enough to find some land, to prepare the soil, to sow seeds, to wait for the stuff to mature, to harvest all the stuff, and then make meals of it. And if that doesn't seem like long, they will be there long enough at least for 2 more generations to be born and grow up. This is where the kids are going to grow up. The kids are never going to know where they came from and where they belong. They're going to find themselves in neighborhoods and think, these are where we're supposed to be. And they're going to call Babylon their home. This is the story of a group of refugees. They've been forced from their homes, and they have to find a way to live in another land. They're going to have to find their way in the midst of another culture, and the culture of the people that took them captive in the first place. Now, I feel like for these people receiving this message and this letter, it would be helpful for them to have a little time to let this settle in. This is new news. This is not what Hananiah said, and I really liked what he said. This is different from what they've heard, different from what they expected, different from what they hoped for. This is not the news that anybody wanted to hear. And it might take some time to get used to the idea of making home in Babylon. But the news comes to them via a letter, and Jeremiah doesn't even take a break for a new paragraph, at least not in the English translation of Jeremiah 29. And whoever is reading the letter would keep on going. So he's already said this, build and plant, settle and marry. I'm just combining all my verbs. Marry, multiply, do all the things that I said before. And also, verse 7, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. As if it's not enough to try to imagine long life in a hated land, God tells them they're not just here for themselves. They're here for the good of their neighbors, the good of the people around them. Be good neighbors, says the Lord, and remember, because I told you this before, perhaps they would be thinking back to Leviticus when God said to them, love your neighbor as yourself. God's saying, do that. Here's your chance. You're to settle in and make a life and make a better life for your neighbors. In this city where you got dumped, in this nation that forced you to be here, that's what I want from you. Now, I figure there's got to be someone in the crowd, the person that's willing to say the thing that everybody else doesn't want to say. Excuse me. Hold on. We thought that whole thing about loving your neighbor, that applied to us, right? We thought that loving our neighbors meant loving each other back at home, loving the people who are like us, the ones who look like us, the ones who have the same way of life, the ones who believe in you too, Lord, like us. But what you're saying here sounds different. We're supposed to make things better for the people of Babylon? And we're supposed to pray for them? And as if Jeremiah anticipated their questions, the letter continues, verse 8, yes, we're probably a couple slides away. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Don't listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I haven't sent them. This is God saying, don't listen to people like Hananiah. What I want for you is what I said. Listen to what I say and be good neighbors in Babylon. So here are God's people, the outsiders, the refugees, the immigrants who are not there because they want to be, who have been dragged there against their will, who are looked down upon by the Babylonians, probably mocked and ridiculed, probably unwelcome in the neighborhoods they inhabit. And God says, I don't want you to fight it. I don't want you to resist it. Do not criticize the culture around you. Don't show disdain for your neighbors. But I want you to live and to want a better life for your captors. It's one thing to settle down and make a good life for yourself in exile. But God does what God does and says, no, I'm going to take it further. Your job is to make life better for everyone. He says, seek the peace for the city, not just for yourselves. Seek prosperity for Babylon, not just for yourselves. And he says, pray. Pray for the people who took away your livelihood. Pray for the people who live differently. Pray for the people who destroyed your city. God is making them responsible for the place that they live. He's making them responsible for Babylon. And essentially saying, because you live here, this place ought to be better. Things can be different in Babylon because you are there now. That's what it means to strengthen the neighborhood. So here we are. We are citizens of a nation, a state, cities, and neighborhoods. And unlike the people in the book of Jeremiah, we chose to be here. Or at least most of us chose to be here. This church, Bloomington Covenant Church, chose to be in this place. They found this particular piece of land in 1977 and said, this is the neighborhood that we're going to inhabit. So we got to choose that. But like the people from long ago, this church has continued to follow God's call to build and to settle, to plant and to eat and to increase in number. And like them, we're called by God to strengthen the neighborhood. We're responsible for our neighborhood, for the places that we live. And God's given them and us these commandments. God says, seek the peace of the city. Now, the word peace here isn't the same as we see in English. It's the Hebrew word shalom. And it means much more than just seek not fighting or make it so that there's not strife. But shalom means universal flourishing. It means that all who dwell there are able to flourish, that they are in right relationship from human to human, human to God, human with self, and human with the creation. It's the picture of what it was like in the garden at the very beginning of creation. It's the picture of what it's going to be when we're someday in heaven. This is what God's saying. Seek that for the place where you live. Seek flourishing and wholeness and goodness for the people around you. It's more than just getting along with neighbors. It's more than just tolerating the person next door. But it is an active pursuit of shalom in the place that we live. Then God says, seek the prosperity of the city. It's not about trying to make this place a wealthy place. It's not about trying to return to some kind of former imagined glory. We're not here to make Bloomington great again. There's no time in our history, really, that we should ever return to. The intent is that we would continue to move forward and make the places where we are better than they've ever been. Bloomington, Richfield, Edina, and the ones beyond, and Minnesota, and the whole country. That because we're here, it's supposed to become a place that's better. And if we're going to seek prosperity, it means we're seeking to make sure that everybody has what they need. To look at what Jesus said in Matthew 25, to see everybody needs food and they need water. They need somebody to welcome them and a place to call home. They need to be visited and cared for. They need good health care. God says, seek the prosperity of the place that you live so that everybody has what they need. And then he says, pray for the place you inhabit. Pray for your neighborhood, your town, your state, your country. Pray for the world. And because Bloomington Covenant Church is here on the corner of 102nd and Xerxes, this should be a better place. It should be a better neighborhood in which to live and to work and to grow and to worship and to thrive and contribute. God invites us into this call to strengthen the places that we live. Now, in the New Testament, it says on numerous times that this world is not our home. That one, we are really citizens of heaven, and that's the place that we belong. But we live here for now, so we really do live in exile in some kind of way. And probably most of the time, it doesn't feel like it. But after Tuesday of this week, it might. Whenever we get the results of this upcoming election, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that whatever the outcome, whether it's what you wanted or not, whether you are rejoicing or weeping, whether it feels like you're right at home with our new leaders or you're newly exiled into a place that doesn't make any sense, God still says our job is to seek shalom. And to seek prosperity, to seek goodness for everyone who lives in this country. And to continue to pray, not just for the people that we voted for, but for the people that we didn't. Not just for those who agree with us, but the people who we might name or name call something different. God says, this is the place I put you to live here and now. And it's not just to wait it out. It's not just to endure until things get better, but to make a difference in the place that we live, to strengthen the neighborhood and to be here for our neighbors. So just as he would have said to those folks living in Babylon, don't despair. Whatever happens this week, do not despair. Do not call names. Don't join in any rhetoric that says the election was rigged or stolen or whatever. Be careful what you listen to. Not to Hananiah, but to God calling us to say, we're going to be here for a while. And I want you in the place that you are. The letter continues on. Jeremiah tells us to the people, this is what God has. It's going to be a long time, and this is what I have for you. And then Wendell read these beautiful words for us. God says, in 70 years, that's how long it's going to be. It's probably not a literal 70. 70 just means complete. When the time's right. For as long as God thinks it's going to take, that's when I'm going to come back and restore you. And God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Best known verse, most well-known verse in Jeremiah. I know the plans that I have for you. They're to prosper you and not to harm you. They're for a hope and a future for you and for everyone who lives in your neighborhood. Everyone who lives near, and even everyone who lives far. So as we move to this table today and we meet Jesus in this place, we get to pray that God would help us be those people in our neighborhood. Would you join me? Lord, what a tough word for those folks that got carried off to Babylon, to have to live in a place that they hated and where they maybe were hated. But Lord, you called them there and you placed them there, just as you have called us here and you've placed us here. This church and this community, and each of us as individuals in the homes and the neighborhoods in which we live, in this state, in this country, and this world. And you say that because we live here, things could be better. That in the name of Jesus, we can seek peace. We can seek goodness and what everyone needs, and that we are to pray for all around us. So we pray today, Lord, for our neighborhoods. We pray for our country. Not knowing what's going to happen this week, Lord, we pray. We pray that this would be a nation that seeks goodness for everybody who lives here. This would be a place where we'd have what we need, the food and the water and the clothing and the shelter and the safety and the health care and the ability to know and be known by you. That's what we're praying today, Lord. Help us when we want to name call and name enemies to stop and see those people as neighbors. Thank you for your deep love for us. We join you at your table now, Jesus. Amen.